Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our brand new, almost brand new, Paradise Circle. My name is Michael Wolf, and I'm honored to be with you today during this adventure in consciousness, the Paradise Circle. And if you're brand new to our community, please do take a moment to download the latest copy of the ebook. I know we have someone in our chat room here. If you click on the link, you can download that version and meet us as we begin on page 3, and then from there we'll welcome our community and complete from where we began this past Thursday, an introduction to paradise, perhaps different than you've ever experienced before or ever will again. Welcome to the Paradise Circle, a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection and doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. The idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry, authored by Mahalyn Louie and known as the Path of Expire. That inquiry is radical, as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is, and to sustain the sense of enough. Oh, wow. Beautiful, beautiful. Welcome, everyone. I know we have a few guests in the guest room and folks online. Let's open up the lines and say hello to everybody. Who do we have with us today? And if you'd be willing to share where you're calling from and a key word that touches you today.
Hello, this is V calling from New Jersey. And the word it's calling me is luscious.
I love it. That's great, V. All right, luscious. Who else do we have with us today?
Natalie Parker from Austin, Texas.
Hey, Natalie.
Hi.
And would you be willing to share a key word with us, one word that might encapsulate how you're feeling right now? If you're willing.
Open.
All right. Thank you for being here, Natalie.
Hey, this is Emilio, and I am calling on top of the Shenandoah Mountains, and it is bright and sunny, so my word would be radiant.
I feel it.
Yeah.
Good to be with you, Emilio. Awesome.
This is Laura from Happiness, Kansas. And my keyword today is spunky.
Spunky. Uh-oh. I know what that means, Laura. You and I share some similar personality traits, so I get it. Thank you for bringing the spunkiness today.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing, Maha?
Oh, I am very grateful to be here, and I'm calling from my heart, Texas.
That is so awesome.
Yes, I am also, I would like also to welcome Natalie as a new member of our family. Thank you for being with us, Natalie.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and this is V. I have a quick report. All my exes live in Texas. I have another ex in Texas. XPR. Oh, my God.
That's great, V. Oh, wow. Well, we've got quite a vibrant group today. I'm feeling it. I'm excited about our journey. We have been through a lot over the past few years, beginning this journey of sharing our hearts via the internet and the radio waves and the beauty of the written word that we are receiving and how that translates for each of us to be primary. On Thursday, Emilio and Maha kicked off our journey with this newly branded offering known as the Paradise Circle. And gosh, I tell you, I'm feeling a deep sense of appreciation, and that would be my key word right now, to appreciate, to add value, to take what is, to see it where it is, and to expound it, to add value to the sense of enough, which, wow, it's just so significant. On the realm of the quote-unquote personal, I am in the process of gearing up to release my youngest son from the nest, so to speak, and I've noticed that I've experienced a range of emotions, sometimes getting triggered, and this morning I found myself with a small piece of irritation towards my youngest son, and I didn't come out and blast him with it, but I did stay with it long enough to be able to language what is going on. And it's a healthy sense of learning to separate in a healthy way, which means to experience the sadness, to recognize the emotions out of the knowing that there's only one of us, and at the same time to have a technology to understand the parts of me that in the past just did not make sense. The places where, yeah, you know, I'm committed to this spiritual gig, I've read all of the books, and how is it that I have these conflicting emotions that I don't understand? And how not understanding those emotions really disempower me and take me out of the ability to share my gifts. And if you find yourself in a similar boat, you've come to the right place. We're a community that's about being paradise on earth. And that's the essence of what the Paradise Circle is. We are a group of folks, as we introduced on page 4 of our ebook, that looked at the base idea here. You know, are you interested in making a difference on the planet? If the answer is yes, the next question becomes, are you willing to begin by healing yourself? And out of this, we begin to relate to the notion of communication in a much different sense than, you know, blame, shame, fear, and the traditional games that we've played in our past and that we see being played out in the various systems on our planet, whether it's the legal system, the healthcare system, et cetera. And what we are doing in the Paradise Circle is beginning to understand how it is that if I really want to sustain my gifts, my power, my peace, ultimately it's simple. Certainly I can inquire and understand, oh, yeah, it's my ego that is at cause of rebelling against quote-unquote reality. And when I understand that, clearly the option that we receive is to surrender. What the Paradise Circle is engaging is a conversation about a new way to do inquiry. And that new way is directly related to what I shared a moment ago, a way that I can increasingly trust myself. And what does that mean exactly? What it means to me is the ability to understand how the movement of my shadow actually keeps me out of sharing my gift of light. And instead of resisting the shadow, we're inviting to engage it. So before we move into our picking up from last Thursday, I'm going to pause and hear how this introduction touches you and how and what's in your space based upon this idea.
Well, this is V. Michael, what came really clear to me was when I think I'm enlightened or I'm seeking enlightenment, I have often rejected when I don't feel great about something and I've hid from it, and that's what I'm getting is the whole thing of resistance. But hello, it's in that moment that I can have the biggest gift if I let myself go in and find out what is that.
Yeah. been so much shame around admitting to that in the past. You know, I clearly see how my pretense to pretending that I have it all together all the time is the exact thing that prevents me from receiving the feminine and therein not having the power of my masculine to complement that.
Yeah, and this is Emilio. And what resonates with me and what you're both saying is it reflects me on a process that we use where we become aware of what we're sensing in our body and our feelings and our thoughts. And yet even those sensations that I have, to come to a point of waking up and knowing that I'm not those, and all the projections that I put out there that caused me suffering to not be able to identify. So, for example, today I'm walking with the letter Vav that asked me what understanding is missing for me to totally be an emissary of love. And that understanding is that I'm not anything that I can perceive. If I can perceive it, I'm not it. And to come to a place of the inquiry that XTR does to allow me to come through different ways of inquiring upon that attachment is awesome. And that's why I feel like there's a radiance today, because I'm not any of it. I'm just, like you said, I'm just recognizing it and becoming aware of it and sitting with it and understanding that I can see it, but that's not me. I'm just aware of what is and appreciating that. So, that's where I'm at. That's awesome.
Oh, Emilio, I loved that you brought the letter, the question, what understanding is missing for you to be an emissary of love. And one of the pages that we explored this past session was when I am not in peace, there is something I do not understand. Sort of like I can't plug in the right piece in the right hole. It just does not work. My system crumbles down. And so what we get is an inquiry based on Genesis 1, on the decoding of Genesis 1, and that it really allows us to be this emissary between above and below. It's like a link in between those two universes. So the more we're going to look at those spheres, those 6 days, of any possible word. Like, for example, a word that I have repeatedly not understood and that has caused a whole lot of violence in my life was rejection. And so if I can take those elements and those units that are in page 6 and I am not sure whether we're going to get there today, but certainly in the next session, very shortly, we're going to link the elements to knowledge and the humors to ignorance. Okay? So it's going to be very practical. And then from there, we have a pattern by which to understand words and situation that has created struggle and pain in the psyche. So that exploration is dire, because one really wants to look at the fact that they're setting up rejection. You know, it's like, yeah, if I'm responsible for doing this, why would I choose to observe rejection? You know? So to make sure that we're in a safe space with each other, we have a few circle agreements, and now I'm just going to take us through those briefly before we go into a practical immersion in the shadow, in which to find the light, in which to be an emissary between the light and the darkness that is being love and the world of above. How does that sound? Okay. So the process of shadow work is really a process of carving. We see the angel inside the stone of our being, the place where we go rigid, and we carve it until we come to our own flexibility, where we are free. Okay? So I'm going to go to the 6 agreements. They are outlined on those lines of colors that we call fractals. And the first one is gentleness. And gentleness is really how to react with power versus force. And I'm just going to explain that one. The force may be that Peter over there has a car accident. It's not his fault. It just happened. Or that Mary is diagnosed with cancer. Not her fault. She did not create that reality. It just happened. That's the force. And those are instances where I am called to become stronger. Okay? So that's the force. And I'm still called to be gentle. Power is when I have a son that is leaving my home and I'm going to be tough on him because I'm sad and I can't. So the force is my son is leaving home. I haven't done anything about it. The misuse of power is to be angry at him and not own my feel. So whether it is power or whether it is this force, are you willing to be gentle with yourself and with each other? Please say yay.
Amen.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
The next shadow play is when I go into judgment. He shouldn't have said that. She shouldn't have done that. And now I'm going to hold a grudge against that person. So what we're asking is to have the courage to say, you know, I'd like to check an assumption. I feel rejected when you say X, Y, Z. Can we clear the space with each other? So, to clear in the space, are you willing to do your best to realize your assumption and clear it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you. The other thing that shadow does is it's going to create default place. Place is where I go to make sure I'm comfortable, where I hide in the shadow. So the call is to really dare to be uncomfortable, dare to enter places where we change, and changing is like a fine language. It's uncomfortable. So are you willing to go there? Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Next place. Now, not only am I going to hide where it's comfortable, but now I'm going to go into the dance of the void. I'm going to be in a void dance. So are you willing to do your best, your utmost, to stay in your presence, to be empowering the now? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you. Shame closet. Well, this is particularly true because now we're online. And this is a public forum. We might hit a place together where we're seeing a skeleton that has been in hiding. So here's what we can do. Is, you know, I'm not ready here to air my dirty laundry. So I'm willing to take this offline. And for now, I request confidentiality. Is that a yay?
Yay.
Yes.
And the last part touches on what you were speaking of, Michael, the pollution of this humanity, the bank system, the health system, the food system, where there's so much pollution, even nature, our water, our air. We're just surrounded by pollution. And what we're simply asking is, can you just accept that this selfishness that is out there, that has infiltrated the collective, is also part of you. And provided that you accept that, are you willing to dive for the selfish nets with this play on words, dive for the shell, dive for the pearl that is inside the shell, crack the selfishness up, and therefore, are you willing to dive deep with us in this inquiry out of that selfishness?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those are circle agreements, and I'd like to ask, you know, anybody that never visited those agreements before, maybe Laura, how do you feel right now?
Safe.
Amen, sister. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is like the net that is going to make her fall into the shadow a little bit more, a little bit easier. Okay. When we were together last Thursday, we looked at this other geometry on page 8, which the gray shape in the background that has those nifty little flowers, that is called the flower of life. Just like the seed of life, this geometry is present in every continent, and it is also has been found in existence for millennia, ten thousands of years, and a number of millennia. So, in that flower, there is a shape that you can Google called the tree of life. And that would be the circle of colors. FYI, those spheres and the word sphere itself come from a Hebrew word whose three letters have been transliterated as XPR. You can even hear it, sphere. Okay? So the spheres of colors, if you Google the tree of life, you're going to recognize that pattern. Inside that pattern are three black spheres, and that geometry, as it is what the path of XPR is bringing as the decoding of Genesis 2, which, if you see the black line that says the promised land, just under that, there's a quote from Genesis 2. The tree of life within the garden, and you can follow up with the colors, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay. So we looked at how chakras, which in Hebrew is the same word, sphere, XPR, sephira, this sephira of knowledge is the word knowledge in Hebrew. So differently, just like the third eye in Hindu mysticism, the chakra of the third eye has a name. It is Ajna, for the command center. In the same way, all the sephirot, the plural of sephira, in the tree of life of Hebrew mysticism, have a name. When it comes to knowledge, the rabbis are saying, well, it's here, it's not here. And it seems as if no one really has wanted to put that puzzle together. So what is known is that there are the three lower words of beliefs, emotion, action, and there is the promised land. So the three lower words, symbolically, the Bible calls it Egypt. But all those three lower words are going to be explored in every workshop of conscious end. How does a belief create an emotion and lead you to an action? And the key that we do is to come back to the language of the heart. I understand, Emil, you, when you were doing the exploration, that you have to believe that your team should do the work. I get that. But past that projection, past the separation that occurs in the three lower words, are you willing to see that there's only one of us? And if there is only one of us, instead of blaming your team for not doing the work, are you willing to see that your judgment may come out of the repressed part of you that doesn't want to do the work? So, Emilio, I know what's your answer, but just for the sake of this process, would you be willing to answer?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you. So what we looked at on Thursday was how the throat chakra is really where the beliefs occur. This is where I make decisions. That's how I create my reality out of my beliefs. And I'm now following the lines of colors, starting with Asia. And I'm going to go to the right, and I'm going to go, the belief creates an emotion. And so now I'm going to be in my navel chakra, resisting my feeling, having digestive issues because I can't forgive. And that's how I form something like a wall around me. That would be an example. Then I go into how, when I feel angry or rageful or sad or frustrated, what action do I go to? And that's my root chakra. This is where I manifest reality. So now I'm manifesting me as withdrawing. Where is my power there? Or as attacking my team, where is my power there? Until I have enough honesty to hear the command from Ajna, the language of my heart in my third eye. And it would say, look at where you're not willing to do the work. Correct that. And I guarantee you that your communication to your team will emanate differently. Okay? So that's the practicality of mystical teachings that have been on the planet for hundreds of years and not really made practical. Why? Because who wants to accept that the number one goal full surrender, complete release of my will. Hey, I'm going to lose my independence. I'm not going to be able to have as much whatever, beer or sex or whatever it is that I do to separate from the one will and from being the eternal light. But we are called to this garden. We are called to having that seventh chakra perspective when we are one with reality. So this is what happened. We looked at the tree of life. But the part that we didn't look at was the black part, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you look at the chakra, we have the mouth, which is, again, we must be the only mystery school, and if there is other, the more the merrier. Okay, the only mystery school I know, we know of, that bring back a chakra that is essential to accessing the third eye and the crown chakra. In other words, to go in the promised land. Without it, without eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which, again, is the name of that chakra, in Hebrew mysticism. Without it, we might understand intellectually, yeah, I got to do the work, but we don't know what is blocking us from doing the work. So to actually connect the dots, we must connect with the unknowns that is in the world of infinity. We must go into that abyss and die to who we think we are, thus the path of expire. So I said a lot. I'm just going to pause, see if there's any comments or questions before we go into the next practical installment.
Makes sense to me.
Thank you, V, for being the voice of our community. All right, so let's look at page 8. And V, would you take us to the first paragraph? You know, to quote the first paragraph, tell us what you see on that page.
Page 8?
Page
7,
actually.
Okay. Prepare to die. Quote, I am convinced that he, in parentheses, God, does not play dice, and a quote from Albert Einstein. Maybe he, in quotes, doesn't play with dice, but Shebrew, in quotes, does. By throwing this easy-to-find six-based object, I can know what part of the fractal speaks to me specifically. The face of the die makes the voice of my intuition visible. If in doubt, I may ask, quote, do I really want to know the truth, end quote. Ultimately, I am called to meet the credo of Judaism and the basis of Jesus' teachings as epitomized in the Shema prayer on page 66 that allows me to hear the inaudible and see the invisible.
Awesome. So, what touches you here? What is new for you?
Well, I love the aspect of an easy-to-find six-based object. I mean, most everybody knows what a die is and can find one, or they can go to random.org and make it work.
Amen. Anybody else? Anything that touches you that you had not heard before?
I like to play on words between Hebrew and Shebrew, you know, the male indoctrinated idea of religion and the understanding that there could be a way to play with a language that maybe I haven't considered in the past.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Beautiful. Yes. Anyone else?
It goes along with sort of what Verena was saying, and there's a part of trusting that everything is, and I can know what part of the fractal speaks to me specifically by trusting that the universe and aligned with everything is just pointing that particular one place to me on the die that relates to a fractal. So they all relate to me at different times and places, and yet this one in this moment, this now, which it is, is speaking to me right now. And there are other places throughout the Bible and other places where people cast lots, they will die, but it just brings back that significance in a very practical way to pinpoint and hone in, if you will, on something right now.
Beautiful. Thank you, Emilio. Okay. So then I have the fractal of what is real. Is reality. And we're going to jump into an unknown, hear the inaudible, and see the invisible. So, is there a burning desire to explore a belief? Would anyone have that? Any burning desire? And Amelia, we can continue with your work if you're willing to play.
If no one wants to, I'm certainly open to this moment.
Okay. So your belief was my team should do the work assigned to them. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And whomever is listening to us, feel free to substitute your beliefs. And here's the process we're gonna go to. So your belief was my team should do the work assigned to them, and you came to owning that you really should do the work assigned to you.
Yes.
And so, but there's still the fact that you resist doing the work assigned to you, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. And so as much as you can understand that you're projecting yourself, there's still this edge of resistance that might bring you, again, to blame another for not doing what you should be doing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So to understand the unknown that keeps you in the three lower world and to be willing to align to the one will, we're going to look at this exploration. If I were to do the work assigned to me in the area where I hear what to do, I just don't want to do it, okay? I'd be afraid that. So if I were to do the work assigned to me and just keep in mind where it is that you don't want to do the work, it may be exercise, maybe study, it may be food prep, it may be accounting. I don't know. You know. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, if I were to do the work assigned to me, I would be afraid that. What is your fear?
I would be afraid that I would be rejected. I'd be afraid that I would be different.
Oh, so how so different?
Different in the sense of the illusion of condition to fitting in, that I would be outside the norm, so I would be different.
Got it. So if you were to do the work, you'd be afraid of that. And we're going to keep going until something that you had not seen, because those beliefs you had seen, is that correct? And it might create a bit of frustration for you.
Yeah, I got you. I'd be afraid that I would be disliked.
Uh-huh.
I'd be afraid that I'd be on my own. I'd be afraid that I'd be alone.
I heard a shift in your voice when you said be alone.
That was sort of like
you.
in the sense of feeling it that way, when I said it, I could feel that was the end result. So it was like, wow, okay, so all of that comes to I'd be alone.
Yeah, it felt like it touched you differently, like you saw something and heard something and felt something you had not felt before.
Yeah, I felt it also when you spoke it, Emilio. It dropped in.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got it. All of that because you don't want to be alone. And, you know, for me, if I may ask that has been a long meditation, especially because of my lifestyle. So, you know, I don't have a son that goes to college. I don't have a puppy dog anymore. I don't have a mall alone. But what I am seeing is I can be alone in a crowd. So it's not about whether or not I am married with children, a cat, a dog, and a white picket fence. And you mentioned being different outside the norm. It's more about, am I willing to take full responsibility for the world that I create? Now, that's super aloneness.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
And you make a valid point that really resonates with me is also because that which I have been conditioned to define as alone is just another belief that I attach to, and it further exacerbates or complicates the letting go because it's stuff. It's the result. So that makes a lot of sense when I come to what you said. I can be a room, a crowd of people, and still be alone.
Yes. Yes. So that is the real question of aloneness. That is the initiation of being alone. It's full responsibility for what I observe, because ultimately I am the observer of my world. Nobody else does it for me. And that's a big question, very big question. So, Emilio, would you be willing to roll a die?
Yes. And I rolled the number one.
So, the tear of love, right?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, there's so many movies and stories and songs where people speak of being afraid to love because their heart is going to be broken and, you know, they're going to fall out of this beautiful resonance that we have when, oh, you complete me. You had me at hello. In reality and in practicality, what I see here is the love is written in capital letters. There is one instance, because from now on we're going to go one page at a time. We're going to do our alignment page, but really explore one page, one fractal. That alignment, which we did Thursday and today, is to create the foundation for the next experience in paradise. So now we're going to work with this geometry, the fractals, the dice, and there will come a point where we will look at love as the transmission of the word, which in the Bible is translated as God. And it's so interesting how I can observe a punishing God or observe a rewarding God. And when I am love, which in Hebrew the word for God is a four-letter word, in English that four-letter word is leader, officer, visionary, engineer. When I am functioning as a leader, I don't have a problem. But when the child of me is having a tantrum, I'm starting to have a problem. When I am an officer and clean my home and organize my files and, you know, dot the I's and take care of details, in other words, I don't have a problem. But when I start being a victim, that's another story. It's one for me, and it's a long journey, so I'm just going to give that one. I have noticed that the real visionary is really challenged by my saboteur. If I keep on sabotaging myself, somehow I'm not going to trust that my vision is going to be heard and seen. So the fear of love is really, how do I deal with my saboteur? How do I deal with my prostitute? How do I deal with my victim? How do I deal with my child? Because this is what I do when I want to see a punishing God. That is the archetype which exists in all of us, that I inhabit, that I embody when I want to be punished. The child is the best example, you know, and I'm sure you can relate to victim, saboteur, and prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that give more resonance, Emilio, to your specific fear of being alone, to take full responsibility for your child, your victim, your saboteur, your prostitute? No excuses. It's not your team. It's you. Wouldn't that be frightening the pants out of anyone?
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Even the parts that I was saying in there, I can see the words that are cropping up in here, whether it's rejection, loss, the whole kit caboodle is tied up in there.
Yeah.
It's not just one area. It's a multifaceted area.
Yes. You got it.
Yeah.
So, Emilio, thank you for being willing to be real. I really am so touched by you and feel privileged to do this work with you. Thank you for allowing me to see into me see intimacy. And I'm going to turn it back to you, Michael, to
Yeah, thank you, Maha.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you, Emilio. I mean, the, gosh, to be willing to sit with the unknowns is such a tremendous feat out of everything that we've been conditioned to do. And you know, we're talking about becoming beyond spiritually correct here. It's, you know, I see it in you, Emilio, in the same way I see it in myself. It's only to the precise extent that I can be real about feel. When I see the fear of love and all of its quote-unquote negative glory, that I can have the integrity to resonate and stay in a conversation that at times feels uncomfortable. So, yeah, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that really is the core to Kabbalah. You know, there's been, we go to page 10 of our ebook, this study of mysticism of every spiritual tradition, and to connect it to what the Paradise Circle is bringing is an idea that there is a language of nature. There is a language. That's the hypothesis. There's a hypothesis that we're anchoring, which states that there is a language that can help me when I begin to see the symbology of that language, to understand my shadow with such clarity and without shame and without guilt and without fear, that increasingly I can resonate with the voice of the cosmos itself. And it is that voice that we each are seeking in what we're looking for in life. And to the precise extent that we own our journey to resonate the voice of love is the precise extent to which we experience the sense of enough. And that's something we can't do anything about. We can't find our happiness in a paycheck or a relationship or a food. That's simply not sustainable. And if you haven't tried, continue to try to find your happiness outside, my invitation, our invitation is go for it, you know? Go for it. See if you can find it. And we will be here if you, like us, find that the answer might just be within. And that's the Kabbalah. When I receive me. And so I'm going to begin this page, and then we'll do a round robin and ask someone different to answer each one of these four questions on page 10. So the receiving of Paradise Circle is to be increasingly primary. That is to experience an alignment between what I say I want and what I have. And so, Emilio, just one, maybe since you were our voice today, why is it that you see that you may doubt yourself? What would be, how would you answer to that question?
I would say the reason why I doubt myself, because there's an unknown that I don't know about myself, and I'm locked into this lie that I believe is me.
Golly. Dude, that is powerful. Did you hear what you just said? That is so beautiful. That's exactly what you rolled today, and that's exactly what we were looking at. Yeah, exactly. So the unknowns, even though they may feel uncomfortable, contain the exact medicine for you to know that and to be primary. Beautiful. So let's look at number one. This is a synthesis of what we've looked at over the past two sessions, by the way, feeling and transformation. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. To be primary is to be myself, meaning what I say and saying what I mean. The resonance is how to transform matter into energy. Barina, the question and how did this one touch you? Any comments that you'd make about number two?
Well, I want to read the question. What is the belief that has me resisting feeling and by extension forgiving? I mentioned it earlier. You know, I'm supposed to be all that. I've been studying my whole life spiritual topics, and I'm supposed to be above having feelings. If I can't have my feelings, there's no way I'm ever going to be in touch with what it is that's really got my goat, so to speak, and how could I possibly come to a place of forgiveness if I don't understand what's keeping me stuck?
Wow, powerful. Laura, you want to take us through the next one, Awakening in Peace?
Sure. When I'm not in peace with something I do not understand, from there I have two sensible options. I can ask and answer the ultimate question, who am I? Inquiry. I can accept that I'm not in peace. Surrender. Do I have the power to choose peace at all times? I do. I forget that I have that power. But, yes, I have the power to choose peace at all times. or to come to a place of peace through asking and understanding the question, who am I? What's going on with me? And what is this current situation that has me out of peace teaching me about myself? Or I can surrender to it and just accept that I'm not in peace. And I understand that. So yes, I have the power to choose peace at all times.
And allow me, Laura, do you actually actualize that power? Do you access that power?
Like I said, at times I forget. At other times, yes.
Okay. So the times that you forget, why would stipulate why there would be times that you forget that you have the power to choose peace at all times?
It's generally, it feels like it's when I get stuck into a very powerful emotion, and it's like it short circuits my understanding that I can choose peace.
Yeah, for me on that one, it's just because I haven't done my inquiry. I haven't completed my inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not able to choose peace at all times, it's simply because my inquiry is not complete beyond my intellectual understanding of it.
Yeah.
That's all it means. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's just, it's like I said earlier, to move beyond the shame of it. I get what you're saying, Laura, and I'm not taking anything away from it. And for me, I'd say, I think our question here is to go beyond and to stay into the idea of the inquiry, which is where I come to the power.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Laura. Natalie, would you be willing to take us through the third one? And if you would prefer not to, that's perfectly cool.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'm calling in from a phone. I didn't know I was supposed to go online. I mean, so forgive me. I don't have anything in front of me to read.
Oh, no worries. No worries. So for next time, you'll know where the e-book is, and we'll make sure to get you a copy.
Okay.
Awesome.
I mean, my homie told me where it was. I didn't, for whatever reason, it didn't connect that I needed to follow along on the book. So forgive me.
No.
I can.
Here, I'll read it for you.
Okay, great.
So the third one is talking about an inquiry I can trust. And what the text says is that the path of expires inquiry is radical as it uses sacred geometry. Using the Genesis pattern reveals that the word and its result as the world is created in 6 days. The six stages climax in the consciousness of Shabbat. When I am in the zone, where are the instances when I'm in the zone, resting and letting creativity happen through me? So can you relate to times, Natalie, when things are happening through you automatically?
I mean, I can.
Yeah, I mean, the
you know,
thing
it's
that
more
I...
more of a, like a surrender. I mean, when I'm surrendering to whatever it is, but are you wanting like an intense of an activity? Is that what...
Well, the idea here is, yeah, I mean, that's the question. Can we recognize times in our life where things are happening through me and not by me? Like for me, it might be when trimming my bamboo or, you know, playing with the dog or, you know, taking a jog, things of that nature.
Yeah, when I'm in the kitchen cooking, I'm in the zone.
Yeah, I'm in the zone. And then the second follow-on question is, are there instances when I'm not?
Yeah, I think more for me right now, there are more instances where I'm not in the zone. So, I mean, I know what the zone is because it's been there, but it doesn't happen anymore in the same places that it happened.
Very good.
You know what I mean?
So,
like, I've had places where, like, I can go for a jog and I'm in the zone. Well, I go for a jog now and I'm not. So my zone is shifted. I don't even know where my zone is anymore. But I know that, you know, like when I'm, you know, I know that the, it's just, I think for me, the zone now is just kind of surrendering to wherever the waves are crashing on me.
Beautiful.
It's like, okay,
well,
you know, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what this is. I'm getting churned and crashed on the rocks and okay, fine. And then, you know, I pop up to the surface of the water. Definitely not because of me.
Hmm.
So if that's what the zone is, I mean, that's what you described as the zone, something working through me. Yeah, that's the zone. But it's not like a happy zone. I mean,
And thank you for your recognition of that, Natalie. And the knowledge of this bullet here in this conversation that we're in, to increasingly trust that there's a way for us to inquire and to come to that middle place, to the middle of the geometry, to where the whole manifestation is happening through me and not by me. Thank you, Natalie, for being with us today. And the last bullet on this page really emphasizes the core of what Maha summarized for us today, is that the tree of life itself holds the wisdom and the practicality of the Bible, which helps to guide us out of the lower worlds, which symbolically are discussed as Egypt, into pure awareness, the promised land. And in order to do so, I must eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and die to who I think I am. So this page here, the Did You Kabbalah It, is the essential receiving of what we've looked at in our first session, presents really our foundation for moving forward through our ongoing Paradise Circle transmissions as we move into the future together. So how was this experience for you today, Maha? Key word that you'd like to share and what you've received out of our inquiry today?
Oh. I would say increased responsibility for the courage to be alone.
Mm. That's big. Thank you, Maha.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. What did you receive today, Emilio?
I'm going to ditto on Maha and also just affirm Natalie in being able to state that she knows that the zone has shifted. That's a beautiful awareness to know that. There are so many people that don't even know that.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
And Natalie, how was your experience in participating today in this conversation?
I have to write on the back of Mahaleen and what she said about, you know, it's just kind of, I think everybody, I'll just speak for myself, but, you know, it's scary being alone. And we think that we're not, and we are, and there's all kinds of layers to it. So it's, if we can walk with that shadow, and it makes a huge difference in terms of empowering ourselves.
Amen, and thank you for your your beauty, I tell you, it's so refreshing to hear you, and my heart just meets you right where you are, Natalie, and a huge virtual hug and gratitude for being who you are with us today.
Thank you.
Laura, how was your journey today?
It was awesome. I understood that there's a place where I'm not willing to do the work for me. It's causing me agitation, keeping me out of peace.
You're huge, Laura. That's gorgeous. Thank you for your recognition and the bigness to see and feel that. How about you, V? What connected differently for you today? What are you leaving with?
A greater understanding that I am responsible for what I see.
Yeah. Sobering, isn't it?
Yep. I always understood the expression, what you get, you project. And I was like, yeah, but I missed the part about what I see is a projection.
Yeah.
That's my choice.
Yeah, and for me, my movement out of my inquiry connects and reinforces the leadership that I hear in me, moving out of spitefulness into languaging, out of my explosions of anger as a punishing father into the languaging of really what is and has been happening as my own journey deepens. And I saw this before we started the call today, which had me in tears of love and compassion for myself and for humanity that lives within me as the collective belief. So I'm deeply touched with the realness of this community. Thank you guys all for being here and for being who you are in this conversation. We never know who and how this touches the planet, but I can assure you that it does, and it just means the world to both Maha and me. So big love to each of you, and we look forward. We'll be back on the Elevate the Soul, not this Thursday, but the following, and on Empowering Now Radio, not this upcoming Sunday, but the following. So big love, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.